On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio.
This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Greg Diet.
And I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Coming up,
we have recovered 23 firearms at Mandalay Bay and 19 firearms at his home in Mesquite. I want to emphasize we believe Paddock is solely responsible for this heinous act.
The death toll from the Vegas mass shooting rises to at least 59, with more than 500 injured.
Also coming up tonight, Toyota staff now without jobs as the company's Altona plant shuts down.
A lot of us haven't had a job interview here for 20-odd years, so it's changed since we came here, filled out a bit of paper and walked in the door and started the next day.
And a lack of sex education in their native China, putting international students in Australia at risk.
All those stories and more coming up in the next 30 minutes.
Good evening. With the news at 6 o'clock, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. At least 59 people are dead in the worst mass shooting in modern American history, an act described by President Donald Trump as pure evil. More than 520 people have also been wounded after a man opened fire on a Las Vegas music festival with a high-powered weapon from an overlooking hotel room. The gunman, identified as 64-year-old local Stephen Paddock, killed himself before police blasted the door open of his 32nd floor room of the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino. President Trump says Americans are joined together in sadness, shock and grief over the mass shooting.
It was an act of pure evil. To the wounded who are now recovering in hospitals, we are praying for your full and speedy recovery and pledge to you our support from this day forward. In memory of the fallen, I have directed that our great flag be flown at half-staff. In moments of tragedy and horror, America comes together as one, and it always has. May God bless the souls of the lives that are lost.
Meanwhile, Nevada Sheriff Joseph Lombardo says Paddock is not believed to be connected to any militant group. Sheriff Lombardo says police are continuing their investigation in an attempt to uncover the reason why Paddock launched his attack on 22,000 people.
He located numerous firearms within the room that he occupied. It's going to be a long and tedious investigation. Obviously, this is a tragic incident and one that we've never experienced in this valley.
Stephen Paddock's brother, Eric, a resident of Orlando, Florida, says he's shocked by what's happened.
We talked when we had something to talk about. And he texted me a picture of, you know, that he won $40,000 on a slot machine. He played high-stakes video poker to be able to stay at home in the casino. There's absolutely no... It's like an asteroid fell out of the sky. If an asteroid fell right here, you would feel the exact same way as I feel right now. There's exactly no... No logic, no reach even for me, where my brother would have done this.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has described the Las Vegas attack as cruel and callous. He says governments must constantly work to stay ahead of security threats.
Australia has some of the strictest gun control laws in the world, and we remain ever vigilant to maintain them. We must constantly improve our laws and our techniques to stay ahead of those who seek to do us harm. There is no place for set and forget in national security. I offer my thoughts and prayers to the people of the United States. We grieve with the families of the victims and we wish the injured a swift recovery.
Carmaker Toyota is shutting down its operations in Victoria today, ending 90 years of manufacturing in the state. About 2,700 Toyota workers will be without a job after the last petrol Camry rolls off the company's Altona North production line in Melbourne's west. The Australian Manufacturing Workers Union says up to five times that number of workers will be affected throughout the component supply chain. The Australian Bureau of Statistics has estimated that 9.2 million people, or 57.5% of eligible voters, have cast their votes in the same-sex marriage postal survey. Voting began last month in the non-binding poll asking whether Australia should become the 25th nation to legalise same-sex marriage. The ABS update has been welcomed by the Tiernan Brady of the Yes campaign.
The message from the campaign today is very clear. The figures are really good in terms of turnout, and we know that there are a million more votes in the post service waiting to go to the office. But there's no room for complacency. There are still millions of votes out there, and the rest of this campaign, we will not give up any single day making sure that everybody out there knows how important this is. This is a vote about the lives and dignity of real people.
In sport, Socceroos coach Ange Postecoglou has given Ante Milicic and Josip Gombau his unqualified blessing to leave the national setup should either get the vacant Western Sydney coaching post. Postecoglou described the pair as outstanding candidates 2 days after it emerged that Tony Popovic was leaving the Wanderers to take up a coaching job in Turkey. Club assistant Hayden Fox has been appointed as caretaker of the A-League club and also expressed an interest in taking the job permanently. With the Wanderers open A-League match in just 5 days. If either Milicic or Gombau are appointed, they would most likely have to leave the Socceroos setup just as the national team prepares for vital World Cup qualifying playoffs. And a look at tomorrow's weather. Perth, sunny 20. Adelaide, possible shower 27. Melbourne, mostly sunny 24. Canberra, rain and mostly sunny 25. Hobart, rain at times 12. Wollongong, partly cloudy 23. Sydney, partly cloudy 23. Newcastle, mostly sunny 24. Brisbane, possible shower 27. Cairns, a possible shower 31. Darwin, partly cloudy 34. And Mike Tomalaris will have more on these stories on SBS World News at 6:30.
Thanks, Ricardo. Right across Australia, you're listening to SBS World News Radio, 6 past 6 now. The brother of a gunman who's killed 59 people and injured more than 500 in Las Vegas says his family has no idea what led him to open fire on the crowd attending an outdoor country music festival. Police are still searching for a motive for what's being called the worst mass shooting in the US's modern history. Our report tonight from Rosemary Bolger.
Originally, people at the annual 4-day Las Vegas Country Music Festival mistook the sound for fireworks.
I was like, why are they doing the fireworks? And it popped a couple of times and people kind of looked over and you could see smoke or something. It was toward Mandalay Bayside. And then we saw Jason run off stage and then people all over on the floor, the grassy area in front of the stage, were just like some were falling and some were screaming and yelling and running.
Jason was Jason Aldean, the country music star performing at the time when the gunfire began to rain down on the crowd watching him. He, like everybody else, dashed in search of the closest cover he could find. A crying witness told CBS television in the United States the wounded were spilling out onto the nearby streets.
We went out, there's people laying on Las Vegas Boulevard and they were shot, there's blood everywhere. It was horrifying, you know, you hear it on TV, but you don't think it's going to happen to you.
The gunman has been identified as 64-year-old Stephen Paddock, who lived with an Australian woman in an affluent desert retirement village about 130 kilometres from the city. Paddock killed himself before police entered his 32nd floor room at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino that looked down on the festival. His girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, a former resident of Queensland's Gold Coast, was overseas at the time and has been cleared of any involvement in the shooting. Las Vegas Sheriff Joe Lombardo says investigators are yet to find evidence of a motive and he avoided specifics about the gunman.
We believe it's a sole actor, a lone wolf type actor. We believe it's a local individual. He resides here locally. I'm not at liberty to give you his place of residence yet because it's an ongoing investigation. We don't know what his belief system was at this time.
The gunman's brother, Eric Paddock, was also at a loss to explain anything.
There's absolutely no... It's like an asteroid fell out of the sky. If an asteroid fell right here, you would feel the exact same way as I feel right now. There's exactly no logic, no reach even for me. Where my brother would have done this.
Interviewed outside his Orlando home across the country in the state of Florida, he said his brother was not a gun enthusiast.
We talked when we had something to talk about. And he texted me a picture of, you know, that he won $40,000 on a slot machine. He played high-stakes video poker to be able to stay at home in the casino.
But Sheriff Lombardo says 16 firearms were found in the gunman's hotel room, some with scopes and some apparently converted to fully automatic weapons. And police say they found at least 18 additional firearms, some explosives and thousands of rounds of ammunition at Paddock's home.
Rosemary Bolger with that story. Well, our correspondent Maggie Palmer is in Las Vegas, where vigils have been held for the victims.
We're just out tonight doing some final filming for the day, and there are multiple vigils across the city. There are church groups singing around town, singing prayers, singing hymns. The community is coming together in many respects. And also, earlier in today, you know, people were lining up around the blocks to give blood. People were lining up for up to 5 hours. You know, people, I think, just, you know, it's so tragic what happened. So people are trying to find some sense of how can I help, how can I give back. So there is a sense of the community pulling together. There's been a crowdfunding page set up already that's already raised in excess of millions of dollars to help with the funeral expenses for the victims' families. So, you know, certainly a community pulling together on an otherwise very sad, sad day.
Now, in relation to the gunman, 23 weapons found in the actual casino hotel room, another 19 at his home. But we learned today that he was also in possession of explosives, Maggie.
Yeah, that's right. So authorities have raided his homes. In fact, they've raided multiple homes, and they've found such things as ammonium nitrate and other substances. We know that the shooter was in the hotel for several days before the shooting occurred, and we know that he managed to smuggle several large cases past hotel staff, which we now know obviously was carrying significant weaponry. So a big investigation underway here in America, and the big question on everyone's lips is why? Why did this 60-something-year-old man decide to do this? No one is clear on his motive as yet.
When you've met people today in Vegas, have they been prepared to speak about America's gun laws, or are they too focused on the immediate task of trying to rebuild their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken with a lot of locals today, and there's kind of, in some ways, people don't want to say much. It's kind of a somber mood. They're sort of happy for a distraction to talk about something else. I think people are quite in shock still. But certainly, you know, this is America, and a lot of people are still very, very in favour of the Second Amendment. And in fact, the only people that I've spoken to today who are advocating for gun law change in America is all the Australians that we've met today. One gentleman in particular we met, he's actually from Tasmania. He lived through the Port Arthur massacre, so he knows what that was like. You know, he's just sort of talking to us today, shaking his head, saying, you know, obviously the gun law legislation changes in Australia definitely changed our country for the better, and he's just shocked as to the fact that this is still happening in America. It's still happening. People are still losing their lives, and still no legislative change on the horizon in the near future, that's for sure.
SBS correspondent Maggie Palmer in Las Vegas. Coming up later in the show, we'll look at how a lack of sex education for Chinese-born students could pose significant problems for them while they're living and studying here in Australia.
A lot of the Chinese students may be somewhat naive about sexual matters. My experience, probably less Chinese students have had any sexual experience at the same age here as Australian students would have.
And you can catch the latest TV news tonight at 6:30 with Mike Tomalaris. If you're not near a TV, you can live stream the bulletin. Just go to our website, sbs.com.au/news. This is SBS World News Radio. Australia is one step closer to losing its 92-year-old car manufacturing industry with the closure of Toyota's Altona plant in Melbourne's west. 2,600 workers will be made redundant, with another 3,000 supply chain jobs also tipped to go. Here's Luke Waters.
Soon-to-be former employees of the car manufacturing giant assembled outside Toyota's Altona plant in Melbourne's west ahead of their final shift. Some said their colleagues were like family. For Demir Dakovic, who began on Toyota's production line in the mid-1990s after fleeing war in the former Yugoslavia, his job helped him assimilate.
I learned my English here, and I met all my friends, and you know, Asians and European and Australians. And I got the opportunity also to be employee rep.
Fellow production line worker Matthew Kinson is one of many now pondering the uncertainty of the job market.
A lot of us haven't had a job interview here for 20-odd years, so it's changed since we came here, filled out a bit of paper and walked in the door and started the next day. That's going to be a little bit difficult.
Australian Manufacturing Workers Union spokesman Dave Smith fears many retrenched workers won't secure the hours they want or need.
At the moment, only about 50% of those Ford workers who were made redundant last October have been able to find full-time permanent jobs. And it's a very worrying trend in Australia.
Almost 3,000 attended a farewell event at the plant, with the company paying tribute to its workforce in a statement, saying it's your efforts that have helped Toyota become a byword for quality, for reliability and for trust wherever you go in Australia. Opposition leader Bill Shorten blames the government for the plant's demise and for broader pessimism in the manufacturing sector.
Some people say that that's the way of the world, that Australian manufacturing can't compete. I don't buy that defeatism. I don't buy that white flag of surrender on manufacturing in this country.
More than 80 different countries of origin are represented across the 2,500-strong workforce at the plant, and Toyota has provided specific training for employees with English as a second language as they look to re-enter the workforce. It's also paid for a range of courses to assist former employees to diversify their skills and find alternative employment. Australia's rich history manufacturing cars will end once and for all when Holden closes its assembly line in Elizabeth near Adelaide later this month.
Luke Waters with that story. Now, when she was asked to come here, Li Yuyi, a Chinese student at the University of Sydney, when she asked where she came from, she says she was told that she came from her mother's belly button. Now, it may sound absurd in Western society, but for Chinese international students, a lack of sex education is a reality, and it could hurt them badly in a place like Australia. Min Luo reports.
Li Yue says she never received any real sex education in China, either at school or at home.
I came to Australia when I was 16 and I've been studying high school.
I didn't receive any formal sexual education back in China.
She says her strict father refused to buy her a computer and smartphone to prevent her from getting sexual material online. At home, she says, sex is a topic definitely not up for conversation.
When there's a kissing scene on the television, I'll just walk away. Until the scene had finished, it's pretty awkward to watch the scene with my parents.
Li says her limited sex knowledge does not seem to have affected her because she does not have a boyfriend. But there are many harrowing stories from Chinese overseas students in Australia. She cites the experience of her friends.
I have heard my friends saying that, I heard that story. It's like my friend is on her monthly period and she and her boyfriend thought that it's like the safe period. So they had sex and she ended up in hospital due to excessive bleeding. Oh, another friend told me that when they're having their first time, her boyfriend gave her special drinks like beer with MSG to intensify sexual desire. And she ended up having dizziness and vomiting.
A science student at the University of Technology Sydney named JC still get emotional talking about her experience.
3 years ago, when I was studying at UNSW library, a guy claimed to be a local student had approached me and asked me, are you Chinese? I said yes. Then he asked me out. I refused him politely because I was really busy. Then he started to cursing me with dirty words. And at the beginning of 2017, the same person had approached me again at the same place. And started with the same sentence. Are you Chinese? I said no, because I didn't want to talk. Then he spit on my desk. So it has been 3 years, and it seems that Chinese girls are his only target, because our stereotypes are innocent, had no sex education, and reluctant to speak up. And within 3 years, our tolerance had made him worse.
Jesse says Chinese parents teach their children to treat people politely and kindly, but like Li Yue says, they do not teach when it is appropriate to say no.
I had 12 years of education in China. There's never anyone who taught me formally about how to protect myself.
In some situations, that lack of sex education can even prove life-threatening. Afraid of being recognized by classmates or leaving any medical record in her file, an international student named Lily chose to take abortion pills at home rather than go to hospital. She ended up with severe bleeding, and her boyfriend eventually sent her to a Sydney abortion clinic. University of New South Wales senior lecturer Andrew Kan, a fertility specialist in the city's Chinatown area, says that is not a good way to handle it either.
We don't recommend anything that, you know, people do that is without consulting the specialist. So something like, you know, medicine to try and terminate a pregnancy, or, you know, some sort of surgical procedure, really has to be done with not only just general practitioners, but probably specialist supervision, because there are side effects from it. It may not work. They need to be warned about bleeding tendencies.
Dr. Kan says he finds there's a clear lack of sex knowledge among many Chinese students.
My clinic is in Chinatown, so, and it's quite close to a lot of universities like UTS and Sydney University. We also have a lot of English classes, English schools around this area. So I would say I would see a majority of the patients that needed termination of pregnancies or pregnant unexpectedly, because I'm positioned in this area that I see a lot of these sort of patients.
He says they have a lot of misunderstanding.
The biggest misunderstanding is about the fertile or infertile period. So a lot of patients, a lot of female patients think that if they have intercourse, sexual intercourse, just before, just after a period, they're safe because they are not ovulating during that time. That is the biggest misunderstanding.
The director of the Sydney University Health Service, Associate Professor Ian Marshall, has dealt with Chinese students' sex health issue over his 10 years. He agrees there's a wide misunderstanding of those issues within the community.
A lot of the Chinese students may be somewhat naive about sexual matters. My experience, probably less Chinese students have had any sexual experience at the same age here as Australian students would have.
English language teacher Alison Margaret says she finds the same experience even within her classroom.
Based on my experience working as a teacher of academic English in a university preparation program, I had a lot of Chinese students in this class. A lot of the students didn't really have a very mature attitude towards sex, I suppose. When it did come up in readings or in listenings or things that we were doing, the students tended to find it quite funny, as opposed to something that was serious. It was interesting because most of these students were 18, 19, 20 years old, and in Australia, most students of that age will have quite a more deep understanding of sex and intimate relationships.
For many students and professionals, the issue is a proverbial elephant in the room, the subject that is constantly present but cannot be addressed openly. JC, who is 19, describes it like this.
I've come to Australia for 3 years and have never experienced any formal education about sex and how to protect ourselves. Sometimes I could say a sentence paired on the computer screen of UTS library. Sexual harassment is unacceptable. But university had never done something formally to teach us how to behave and how to protect ourselves.
Dr. Marshall says sex education is available in the Australian universities, but on an informal, dropping basis.
We would use what we call opportunistic health education when patients come to us to talk about these things. or they might be coming in for contraceptive advice or to discuss various different options in terms of contraception. We would talk to them then about sexually transmitted disease, how to reduce the risks. We've got various brochures we can give them, and then health information.
For Chinese students, the reasons attributed to numerous sex-related misunderstandings and the misconduct are twofold. One is a lack of adequate sex education. The other is little or no understanding of the Australian health system and the related policies. Jesse says that applies to her friend's dilemma.
She has very regular menstrual cycle. She was confident about safe period. So once during her safe period, she allowed her partner to have sex with her without using condom, and she got pregnant. But the lucky thing is she is a medical science student, so she did abortion successfully in Sydney.
JC says her friend was lucky because she had access to material advising her on how to get an abortion in Sydney. In other cases, Chinese students have been known to fly back to China to get an abortion because they heard abortion was illegal in New South Wales. Realizing language could be a barrier which stops Chinese students from getting help at their university health center, the University of Sydney plans to provide brochures in Chinese. Dr. Marshall says it is important.
Of course, an English-speaking university,
yeah,
and everybody's supposed to be able to understand English, but it's obviously easier for people to have things in their own language.
Dr. Ken says universities are the best place to make a difference.
University is the ideal place because they all have to go to, they're here to go to university or go to language school, so that would be the ideal place where they can not only provide correct information, because there's lots of information, it's not that information is not available, but a lot of the information is not correct. So it would be good that if the schools and universities can direct them to websites or direct them to doctors or sex education programs that give them the correct information to prevent unwanted pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases.
Dr. Marshall says a talk on sexual health will become a part of the orientation program for international students in 2018 at the University of Sydney.
And that story by Min Luo. Time now to check the news headlines for you. Religious leaders, elected officials and mourners have gathered at multiple prayer vigils in Las Vegas following the mass shooting at a country music festival that left at least 59 people dead and hundreds more injured. The Minister assisting the Prime Minister on counter-terrorism, Michael Keenan, says Australia's tougher gun laws mean it's entirely unlikely that an attack like the one in Vegas could occur here in Australia. Car maker Toyota will shut down its operations in Victoria today, ending 90 years of manufacturing in the state. Around 2,600 workers are losing their jobs after the last petrol Camry rolls off the company's Altona North production line in Melbourne's west. And big gas companies have confirmed a commitment to ensure that Australia will not run out in the coming year after meeting with Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull for the second time in a week. Well, that's SBS World News Radio for now. You can see Mike Tomalaris across Australia bringing you SBS World News. You can also live stream the bulletin on our website, sbs.com.au/news. I'm Greg Dyett. Thanks for listening.